Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and how I look forward to especially sharing this time with you today and the message the Lord has put on my heart for the next several days as the Lord will develop and bring His truths to our heart. But before we do that, can we just join our hearts in prayer? I know that there are many listening that really need the sense of God's presence in your life right now. You're facing some things and you just don't know where you're going to go from where you're at right now. But the Lord has clarity. He has direction for you. And it's a good thing, it's a fitting thing to call upon the name of the Lord. For He's a gracious, loving, and merciful God who's, it says of Jesus, He's our high priest interceding at the right hand of God, that He's touched by the feeling of our infirmities because He was there. He's tasted the temptations and trials that we would go through. And so, Lord, we just come to You, Father, in Jesus' name. And I pray especially for those who are going through a difficult time right now in their lives. Father, where it seems their faith and hope is just disappeared, dried up, and Lord, they're in a desolate place. But I thank You, Lord, that You have mercy upon Your people. You will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. So, Lord, I stand on Your word, and I ask right now the Spirit of God would minister to everyone who's in great need of Your help. Father, give them faith and hope that they need, Lord, to see them through this time of crisis, through this time of calamity. You will not fail them nor forsake them, Lord. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit powerfully through the words that the Holy Spirit would give me to speak, Lord, where hope and strength and faith can be renewed in the mighty name of Jesus. We praise You and we thank You for it. Now, you might be in a place right now where you feel life has never been better. You're on the mountaintop. You are praising God. You're thanking God for His blessings. And I can just say amen to that. But beloved brother and sister, if you are in this place, then what does God's word tell us to do? We're to remember those that are in bonds. First of all, are you praying for the persecuted church? That's a burden that God put on my heart as a very young Christian, that right now, as you're listening to me, as I'm making this broadcast, there are those of our brothers and sisters in so many areas of the world that are laying down their lives for the cause of Christ, suffering torture, humiliation, ridicule, privation. There, in fact, I've heard some things of what's happening to brothers and sisters who are being martyred in the Middle East. I won't even share with you the horrible things that I've heard. And beloved, do you have a burden for them? It's the immature, childish Christian, you know, just like a child, they're happy and just rejoicing before the Lord. But a sign of maturity is to relate to the tribulations that our fellow brothers and sisters are going through. You know, the word says to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We've been so blessed in this country, but there are those who are suffering right now. And it behooves us, as the Holy Spirit quickens, even daily, that we can remember them. Are we praying, you who are on the mountaintop, for laborers to be sent forth in the harvest? How many missionaries are laboring unknown, unnamed, in areas of the world where the life of the Christian or the unsaved is in such a desperate, dire situation in terms of just the material necessities of life, are you praying? And then, can I just say that if you're in a wonderful place right now, maybe you've not walked with the Lord very long, let me assure you, from many years of walking with God, there will be a time that you will need others praying for you. And in fact, even Paul said he despaired of life, but he trusted in God who would raise even those who were dead to new life in Christ. And even physically, as Jesus did when he was on the face of the earth, and the disciples and apostles. So, beloved, no matter where you're at today, we need to hear the word of the Lord. And Lord, I do thank you for your anointing on the word. As I shared this message, which I've entitled, What to Do When Hope Seems Gone. And for a Christian, it might seem that you can despair of help. You despair of hope. You feel you have no faith. But the Lord is nigh unto those who are broken in heart and broken in spirit. And he will be a very present help in the time of trouble. So we're going to look at the word of the Lord. And to do so, I'd like us to focus on Psalm 143, a psalm of David. And this is considered by Bible scholars one of the seven penitential psalms, if you will, like Psalm 6, 32, Psalm 38, Psalm 51, Psalm 102, Psalm 130. And it describes a time of great distress. And what the psalmist is doing, they're lamenting and confessing sin. Beloved, we have sins that so easily beset us. If nothing else, the sin of unbelief, even if we're walking in, it's to the best of our knowledge and effort in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. But in this particular psalm, it's David who's writing, who's speaking. And in the first couple of verses, just to give you an overview, he's appealing for mercy. And he is complaining, he's lamenting about the situation he is in right now, verses 3 and 4, the present distress he finds himself in. And in verses 5 and 6, he's longing, he's yearning for the blessings that he's known and experienced in days past. And then finally, in verses 7 through 12, he's beseeching God. He is praying for God's deliverance in his life. He's praying for direction and guidance that he needs, as well as vindication. So, as I've just kind of summarized where we're going, let's now look at David's appeal for mercy. He's in prayer. And let me share now verses 1 through 2. And again, I read the King James Version, which is my Bible. I do read occasionally and reference other translations, but I believe there's an anointing and there's a truth that the King James Version holds. I'm not speaking about the New King. I'm speaking about the authorized King James Bible that relates and shares the very heart of God with an integrity that I believe other modern translations don't. But anyway, that's not my subject. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. These are the requests he's making known to the Lord. And he goes on further in verse 2 to say, and enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. And that is true. In another place in the Psalms, it says, Lord, if you should mark in iniquity, who shall stand? Beloved, we are all sinners before the Lord Jesus Christ, but thank God for the blood of Jesus who cleanses us from sin and from all unrighteousness. So if we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then the wickedness, the sin nature is cleansed from us, our sins, the iniquities, and we are transformed and translated into newness of life. Does that mean we're perfect? Unfortunately, it doesn't, because the sin nature is ever present with us, and The Lord allows us to grow into maturity by giving us countless opportunities. Sometimes, don't you wish they weren't so many? Where we can mortify the deeds of the flesh nature and walk in the Spirit. And as we grow in maturity, that's a choice we make more readily, more freely. Yes, Lord, I don't want to fulfill my selfish, stubborn, rebellious nature with the flesh nature, which is in opposition to God. But Lord, I want to walk in the Spirit, because as Paul said, that's my inner man. That's what I long to do, Lord. I want to walk in a way that's pleasing to you. And so, beloved, well, we just, as I near the end of the broadcast, we're getting not even beyond the first two verses, but look at David. He was in dire need. And of course, he realizes that he can't pressure God into helping him on the basis of his own merits. Isn't that the truth? But David is a servant of the Lord. Even under the old covenant, he was in covenant relationship with God. And we are under the new covenant, beloved. And the thing that's exciting about these covenants is that God initiates them. And not only does he begin them, but he maintains them by divine grace. He talks about, David does, in thy faithfulness, answer me. And because God is a faithful God, he is true to his covenant promises. And he's a righteous God. He said, answer me, Lord, hear my prayer in thy righteousness. And God's righteousness, in that very character and nature of God, he has the ability to set things right, which he does through the blood of Jesus, the perfect sacrifice of our Lord, and the atonement that he offered to his heavenly Father in our behalf, and he also vindicates his servants. David appeals to God's mercy rather than judgment. He expresses a conviction of the power of sin. We also need to do that. Every man born into the world is a slave thereof. But there is one way left open to him to give himself up wholly to the grace of God. Praise God. And we do that, do we not? Well, my time is gone, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. I invite you to tune in tomorrow, and we're going to just continue on and share the truths that God has for us. I love you. I invite you to write and share whatever crisis, whatever trauma you're going through right now. God hears and answers agreeing prayer. God bless you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glassay. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.